What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Jenny, Jimmy, Gregor, Amy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents CF Montreal 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Welcome, everybody. As part of Footy Prime's commitment to more MLS content, I am here with Ollie Brett, and this is Footy Prime Presents CF Montreal 3 Questions. So as we get started, there's a palpable buzz, I think, in Montreal around a new coach, around multiple signings, around kind of just expectations for this year. But before we get into that, is it okay if I call you Ollie? I just
absolutely
call you Ollie.
No, yeah, that's fine. It's just let's not pretend that we're strangers.
No, I know. We know one another. And actually, my brother-in-law and my sister know you quite well. So I pretend to know you quite well. So we'll just jump off from there. But I will tell people a little bit about you. So Ollie, first of all, is what I aspire to be in French. He's perfectly bilingual, irritatingly so. Sets a very high standard, but you were once a player yourself, grew up in a Quebec City area, and then you went through the Impact Academy as a director and also as an assistant coach with reserve teams, and now you have a very accomplished broadcast career. You were with Apple TV last year, RDS, as a play-by-play guy and a host, and also BPM Sports Radio. You're a United fan, but I won't hold it against you as a Liverpool fan myself. How are you feeling about United, Ollie?
Well, I was just about to say, you can say all you want. We were boasting for, 26 years? Well, we'll forget the first year or two under Alex Ferguson, but I have nothing to say. It's all boomeranging back for the last, since 2013. So yeah, it's been a tough decade.
Is that since Fergie left?
Absolutely. Because and just a complete tangent, obviously we start talking about the Premier League instead of talking MLS, but that's fine.
That's what we do on Footy Prime.
I have a ton of admiration for what Alex Ferguson did. Yeah. However, he didn't set up the after Ferguson. I know there was David Moyes, and the idea of passing the baton on to somebody else who kind of resembled his mold was okay. But the squad wasn't ready, and the club has been trying to recover ever since.
Yeah, I think we could easily go off in a 20-minute tangent.
We could.
Erik ten Hag and United, but we won't. We won't do it. So yeah, so we're back. CF Montreal, and eager to get your thoughts, because I mentioned a new coach, a new hire. So it's Laurent Courtois, who is with Columbus Crew as part of their MLS Next Pro, and a winning coach, but he's yet to coach. He's a rookie as far as MLS goes. But you were down in Florida for a week, yes?
Yeah, for 4 days, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll call it a week, Ollie. And I think the philosophy, the approach that he has, he's a sort of human first, player-centric coach. Players are on board, but there will be growing pains. So what will this look? We know what it's going to look like in theory. On paper, what is it going to look like in practice? And what was it like to sort of see it at work, to see the process up close when you were in Florida?
It's interesting you say he's a human first kind of guy, because it's absolutely true. And it's true if you're a media person. It's true if you're a part of his staff. Everybody kind of has the same vibe and opinion about Laurent Courtois, and it's unanimously positive. Having said that, he's a coach. And he coaches the football side as well. And what I found really interesting is that he has he'll be obliged to be flexible, especially at first, because what he's asking his team, especially his goalkeepers, his defenders, to execute is extremely simple, but when all put together, can be very hard to apply. So I think for the first, I'd say until July, and it sounds really far, but at the same time, if you're going to build something like Wilfried Nancy built in 2021, 2022, and that was building on top of a very complicated first COVID season under Thierry Henry, but there was a sporting aspect of building blocks there, it's okay to have a few months where you have to live with those growing pains. The fans that like safety, the fans that like low risk, might struggle at the beginning of the year because he's asking his defenders and his keepers to play football. He's asking to build up very patiently and very courageously from the back. So that's going to be the most interesting thing. The advantage, though, is that they went and recruited up top, which might give you the kind of lifeline, the few goals you need at the beginning of the year to make sure you stay afloat.
Yeah, score your way out of something, which is what they were unable to do last year. So we'll dive into that after. But you even heard some of the stories that came out of training camp. A guy like Victor Wanyama, who was pushed aside last year under Hernan Losada, which to me was incongruous with the sporting vision, with the philosophy of the club. So he sort of gets pushed to the side. And so he's back into the fold now, perhaps in a running for a starting position in the middle of the park. But he said himself that it took a year and a half to play the brand of football that Wilfried Nancy wanted to play. So you say July, and that sounds really conservative, but compared to a year and a half, that sounds like something I think fans can get behind. And I think players would be okay with that as well.
Yeah, but let's not forget, 2023, football-wise, everybody wants to forget it. And I think the players, the staff, everybody's trying to stay very respectful, because Olivier Renard, I had a chance to speak with him, VP and Director of Football at the club, last week on the radio show. And he was very careful not to throw Hernan Losada under the bus. Obviously, once the guy gets fired, you understand he was a part of the problem, but he wasn't the whole issue. Football-wise, though, they can go back for those who were there to 2022, to 2021. That's why I think everybody is, and you just feel it during training camp, everybody's delighted that last year's kind of improvise, make it up as you go along, try to get it up to the striker as fast as you can and cross your fingers hoping that somebody will be able to put it away. Everybody's happy that that's behind them. Everybody's delighted that you're coming back to something that looks a lot more like Wilfried Nancy. And it's incredibly ironic that the club that took your coach away, or at least made him an offer that he found interesting enough to take and leave the club after a record season in 2022, is also the club that gives you a replacement that's absolutely aligned with what Wilfried was doing a few years ago. So I understand it will take time, but what was built under Thierry Henry and Wilfried Nancy, there's still enough there for you to accelerate that process in 2024.
Yeah. And while that comparison, you know, you drew that parallel with Courtois, with his approach with Nancy, it's probably an unfair comparison for a guy who, again, is not coached in MLS, just to measure everybody's expectations.
You mean Laurent Courtois?
Pardon me? Yes. Oh, what did I say?
No. You said the right thing. It's just that I'd also remind people that Wilfried Nancy, and I've known him, like I really appreciate the guy. I had a great relationship with Wilfried. We used to coach at the academy together back in the day when it was started, early tens in Montreal. But nobody knew Wilfried Nancy. Now, Will is absolutely beloved now across the league, but he was an assistant coach. So you could even have an argument that he had less coaching experience at a senior level, if you consider MLS Next Pro to be senior level, as a head coach, because he'd never taken it on. But we forgot that because his brand of football was so crystal clear to begin with that it felt like he was a head coach for a decade. And it's kind of the same feeling we get from Laurent Courtois.
Yeah. And that crystal clear brand of football, what he espouses, what he adheres to, I think it gives the players license to be themselves in their own profiles and to express themselves with their strengths and weaknesses, you know, and not be afraid to make mistakes. And I think so it's that creativity within the structure that you saw with Wilfried that I think we'll see again with Laurent, even though there will be growing pains. The results might not go their way, but what was really apparent early on with Hernan Losada was, you know, the body language. It was overwhelmingly negative. Players were unsure. Comments in the media, you know, were said as much. So, you know, you could only guess what was going on in the locker room. So I think now they're all on the same page. And that's a phrase that's come out of preseason as well. You know, on est tous sur la même page. We're all on the same page. So they're in it together for better or for worse. And results might take time. But I think their roles are clear and defined within that structure.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And those comments that came out in the media, obviously, Samuel Piette after trashing defeat in Atlanta, that was what? Yeah. It was about 10 games left in the season. I forget, it was September, if I'm, or maybe the end of August. When you try and read between the lines now with a few months of kind of decanting the whole thing, the issues were way earlier. Those comments came late after an awful lot of people were confused. That's the first thing. Then two aspects, because you were talking about making mistakes. One little tidbit that I found really interesting, because that's where you see coaches who are able to walk their own talk. Everybody feels that they can make mistakes, but that's also because Laurent Courtois, when he messes up an exercise, and I saw that in Orlando a few weeks ago, if he's not clear, he's the first to say, hang on a minute, I don't think I was clear. I messed up with my explanations. Let's reframe. Let's go again. When you've got a coach, and I mean, you're not going to therapy now. It's not that kind of vulnerability, but it is showing that sometimes you don't have it all square. You don't have it all perfect. And it's not always your player's issue or fault or responsibility if something went wrong. That's the first thing. And the second is, you said about player's ability to understand what the role is because everything is crystal clear. That, and also recruiting, because last year when you realize you had recruited players to play a completely different brand and style of football, and that's why it never worked out. You couldn't ask an Ahmed Amzi, you couldn't ask a Bryce Duke, you couldn't ask a Matko Miljevic, all those attacking midfielders who were brought in to play in a footballing team to play the counter. And that was a big issue. And I think that's one of the main advantages looking forward to 2024.
I'm also looking forward to seeing the intangibles at work, which I alluded to the negative body language, but part of Laurent Courtois' philosophy, and he said it as soon as he was introduced in Montreal, was that fighting spirit, combativeness, the work rate, the energy, the pluck, whatever you want to call it, the bravery, the tenacity. We could get into all the superlatives, right? But I think that I'm excited to see that in action. Because again, that doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with results, but I think it goes hand in hand with kind of the aggressive nature of the offseason, recruiting the right kinds of players to play the right brand of football, and the fans will appreciate that. So I think you will be granted that time, you know, to experience those growing pains, because you will see it in action and in other ways.
Absolutely. And I think there's also, because I wasn't a fan at the end of last year, there were comments made by the club's hierarchy. And I understand where they were coming from. They weren't happy with the level of effort in the last few games of the season, especially on decision day. Yeah. I get it. But when you're 34 games in of not knowing exactly what you're working for, can you blame guys to say, listen, we're going around in circles here. I'm going east when Mathieu Chouinard is going west. I'm going north when somebody else is going south. It doesn't make any sense, and you get extremely frustrated. So I wasn't a fan of that. Now, excuses are out the window. I can't guarantee you much for this season, Amy, but I can guarantee you one thing. There will be no Samuel Piette coming out and saying, it's not clear, we're not on the same page, we're confused, and we need to get more clarity from the staff. That's not going to happen, because you just feel that everything is boiled down to its most simple expression at the moment, because time is of the essence. They know that where they want to get, they can't be that complicated now. So they need to make it bite-sized so that the players have something that's actionable to start the season. And I think that's going to make players able to work harder because they're not in their heads as much. Now, how long is that going to take? I don't know, especially since you start with six on the road. But I think that's the right approach for this season.
We'll be right back after this break.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Okay, so That was a lengthy question number one. That's on me, not on you.
No, that's true.
But okay. So do you think you said we'll likely have to wait until July, mid-season, Leagues Cup, whatever it is, to probably see sort of the fruit of this philosophy sort of take hold. Are they a contender now? I mean, that said, I probably just disproved that. But if they're not, are they at least on the right path to next year or the year after to be in the right direction?
100%. I think everything is back to something that's coherent, because the big issue before Olivier Renard's arrival at the end of 2019, I believe it was coherence. Coherence from one coach to the next. Coherence in recruiting. Coherence in the money you gave to player X compared to player Y. I remember one year Samuel Piet was a starter. He was making a little over 100,000, and you had a guy making close to $1 million on the bench, and it wasn't even close. So we're back now to something that's way more coherent after a bit of an anomaly last year. Now, contender for what? Are you allowed to say loud and
you
clear?
You define it. You let us know. Contender for what? Playoffs?
You can't at the moment, especially considering how good some of the teams were last year. You think about Cincinnati. You think about, by the way, what's going on in Ohio? I'm not quite sure what's happening there, but Columbus Crew, Cincinnati. Then you're going to have Miami.
There's no water there.
Miami. We don't know what's going to happen with Toronto. So there's a mixed bag, and I think the East is going to be a lot better this season than it was last year. Having said that, are you allowed say loud and clear that you want to win the Canadian Championship and make the playoffs? Not just hopefully make the playoffs, but it's an absolute goal? Yes, 100%. Are you guaranteed? No, because you're going to be one of those teams that can go from, I was looking at MLS predictions now. The average of MLS experts is 12th. I think that's the very, very, very bottom. Then could you get up to the top five? I think that's a bit of a stretch. But making the playoffs this season after last year and knowing all the players, it's close to 10 players who left and 10 players who came in, I think that would be a success.
Yeah, I think when you look at new signings versus departures, what you get in a player like Yankov, like the goals on paper that the team has brought in Martinez, in Kokoro, I think in the depth that they now have, especially at wingback, and then the core down the spine of the team. I think the potential there, I think, is something to really build on. So do you think that, and Renard, I listened to that great interview that you had with him. Well done on that. He said that in trying to fill the void of some of those departures, he was looking to sort of find that right mix and that blend of youth and experience. So do you think he's done it with what you have on paper here going into this season?
Compared to last season, absolutely. Because I think what really hurt the club in 2023 was A, their incredible run in MLS in 2022, record season, which put a lot of players on the map, and also Canada's run to the World Cup. There was an opportunity to sell players, and I don't think Ismaël Koné was definitely not supposed to leave. He hadn't played a pro minute before that 2022 season started.
50 appearances for Watford now, by the way.
I mean, but that's it. And it was the right time to sell him because he was hot, and I'm not sure Ismaël Koné's personality, did he need to step up and feel that his place was in danger to make sure he kept the right habits? And I think so it was the right move. Kamal Miller wanted to leave because he wasn't happy in Montreal anymore, fair enough. Kai Kamara wanted to leave. Alistair Johnston was sold. Georgi Mihailovic was sold. It's an awful lot of not only good players but personality that's left it. The club, and you were left with players who were still under contract, but you were left with them because they didn't have maybe that same quality and definitely not the same personality. So I think that leadership, when you go and get Kokaro, who's a 26-year-old striker, but there's something so magnetic about the guy. He's absolutely loved in the squad, and he's going to be absolutely hated by opposition defenses because he's going to run through brick walls to, who knows, maybe tee up Joseph Martinez, who's a bigger-than-life personality in MLS, and he's still going to be that here in Montreal. So I do think that that mix for a club that's still looking to bring on youngsters, add value to their career, and hopefully sell them on, I think you've got a way better mix this year than last season.
Well, speaking of goals, that's going to be my last question. So where do you think the goals are going to come from? I've mentioned that they're there on paper with the players that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Martinez, we know with the injuries he suffered, the ACL in 2020, he's not the Joseph Martinez of MLS MVP and Golden Boot era, but can we get some of that kind of potential from him? And also the leadership that he brings in to the group. I think last year with the injury that Kyoto suffered, and not only lost that output of the 15 goals, six assists from the record-breaking year in 2022, but you lost some leadership and sort of a focal point of your attack. And I think that the rest of those front runners were left kind of guessing and flailing a little bit. So where are the goals going to come from? And what are you most looking forward to in terms of partnerships that you see developing on the pitch in terms of the front runners?
Well, I spoke to you about Cocaro and Joseph Martinez. There's something just electric about those two. Now, the question is, how do you manage to have them both on the pitch and make sure that you're able to defend properly from the front, which is what Laurent Courtois is going to ask, and then you have the right chemistry? You know, with strikers, you can have two fantastic strikers, but they're just on two different wavelengths. So that's going to be super interesting to see. You know, we're talking about Romelu Chiodo. He got 15 in 2022, if I'm not mistaken. But what we forget is that Alistair Johnston scored 4 that season as a right back. Zachary Broguillard scored 4 as a right back. Joel Waterman got 3 as a center back, or at least
Kamal Miller also chipped in with a number as well.
Kamal Miller, Rudy Camacho. I think the only guy who didn't score at the back that season was Gabriele Corbo, and I might even be wrong on that one. So that brings me back to what Laurent Courtois is going to do very differently than Hernán Losada last season. I think he's going to commit an awful lot more players forward, because Alistair Johnston, even if he played the same way in last season than he did in 2022, he doesn't score those goals because he's pinned back too much and then he's got too much ground to cover. But if you hold on to the ball a lot more and then you build up to the final third, then you've got more bodies there. Then you've got Joseph Martinez in the box. You've got guys like Ruan. I think he's going to be a fantastic addition. He can come in on the right and cross some very dangerous balls into that box. So my desire, if I was Olivier Renard or Laurent Courtois, if you can get Joseph Martinez to 15, I think that would be a huge step to getting him back on pat. He still wants to beat Chris Wondolowski's record. I mean, he's, I believe, 66 goals away. He's only 30. He's allowed to dream about that. But if you don't get back to 15 or 20 goal season at some stage this year or next, I think you'll have to forget about that. So I think that's great motivation fuel for him. But you have to bring more people in the final third. And that's going to be the key, I think, offensively, especially at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, well, that's great. We have tons to talk about, but I think we'll leave it there. But one thing for sure is that these front runners, these new signings, have to score more than 5 goals and 5 assists, which is what Mathieu Choignard got last year as the team's leading scorer.
And you know what? Mathieu Choignard would be the first guy to tell you it's absolutely okay if I'm not leading scorer this season.
Yeah, he'll be fine with it, right?
He will.
Okay, cool. Thanks so much for this, Ollie. We'll do it again next week, hopefully, or on a regular basis. So this has been Footy Prime Presents CF Montreal, 3 questions. And remember to subscribe to FootyPrime.com/FootyPrime. Tony Bet for all your Premier League, Serie A, and Women's Gold Cup coming up. Canada opens up that tournament on Thursday. Keep supporting independent podcasts and cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Thanks, Ollie.
Cool.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/FootyPrime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh.